Matthew chapter 5. We're going to look at the last beatitude. First recorded message in the New Testament. First recorded message of Jesus Christ as he walked this earth. It dealt with how to be blessed. How to be happy. Not happy because of circumstances, but happy in spite of circumstances. Type of happiness or joy or peace or blessedness that comes not because circumstances are right. It's something that circumstances can't give, and it's something that circumstances can't take away. Something that comes from the Lord. I guess we could say it just like he said it, a blessing from the Lord. And he was speaking to people who were shocked in what he said. For he was speaking to people who were proud and exalted strength and confidence. Self-confidence was the theme of their day. They were expecting the Messiah to come and to overthrow Rome. They were expecting a conqueror. They were expecting someone to come with speeches of authority and strength and confrontation. And yet he speaks about things like poor in spirit and meek and mourning. It shocked them. And it don't know if it shocks us. But I promise you, most of the time, it's not what we desire. Most of us would not want to have the attitude of being poor in spirit or being meek or mourning. That's usually not our desire. But he says, if you want this blessedness that I'm talking about, here's how you get it. And if you don't do this, if you aren't this way, you don't get it. This is only for those who are these things. Look at verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Promise you, no one in here wants that to be true of us. No one wants to be persecuted. No one wants to be disliked, not unless their thinking's off somehow. But Jesus said this special blessing that I've been talking about, this special happiness that provides a joy and peace and contentment in spite of what you're going through, if you want it, part of the way you get it is to accept persecution well, to handle it rightly. Verse 10 and verse 11 go together with this beatitude. The other beatitudes spoke of one thing, like blessed are those that mourn. And it has one result, for theirs is, and so forth and so on. Each of the beatitudes had one statement and one result. For instance, blessed are the poor in spirit, one thought. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven, one thought. One statement, one result. But this thing of persecution is one beatitude. He makes one statement, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. But there's two results. There's like a double blessing on this beatitude, which makes it a little bit more appealing. But he talks here about those that revile. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you. The word revile actually means to chant or to taunt. It is as though they're making fun, but more than making fun, they're chanting, they're taunting, they're trying to egg us on. They're trying to say something to get a negative response from us. And Jesus said, blessed are those that endured those things. And when men shall revile you and persecute you. The word persecute means what we think it does, but has the extra idea of pursuing. It literally means to run after. In other words, they just won't let you go. They just won't leave you alone. It's like the person at work who just will not stop bugging you just because you're a Christian. The person in the neighborhood that's always stirring up trouble for you. And they just won't quit. They pursue any way they can do to bug you. And that's what he's talking about here. And it says, he'll say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. The word evil simply means evil. To say bad things. But the thought here is to just get up in your face. To just come right up into your face. You ever had somebody do that? Or you ever seen that happen? You may have done it yourself. Get right up in somebody's face. Almost on them. Almost attacking. Almost becoming physical. And that's the thought that's here. When somebody just gets right up in your face. And says evil things. The thought not only is in our face, but behind our back. When whispers are about you, and they make fun of you because you're a Christian, because you live right, that holier than thou, that person who thinks they're so uppity, that churchgoer, that Bible thumper, that Christian. That's who Jesus is talking about. He says, in essence, if you're going to live for me and serve me, if you're going to live right, you just will expect to be persecuted. But I want to remind you, when you endure that persecution well, rightly, I got a special blessing for you. All through the Bible, we see persecution. Jesus himself said, think not that I come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. He's not talking about physical violence. He's talking about dividing, making enemies. But Jesus goes further than that. He says, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. And he identifies that thought even more in verse 36 of that same chapter where it says, a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He said, I didn't come to bring together. I came to divide. When one gets saved and the rest of the family just does not understand. What in the world's happened to Bill? What in the world's happened to Susie? And it divides. It breaks apart. And the foes are those in their own household sometimes. That's what Jesus is talking about here. As far as persecution, James tells us about that when he says this in James 5, 10 and 11, take my brethren the prophets who have spoken the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. James said, you look back at the prophets. You look back at those who walked in the Bible, and you'll find out one thing's true about almost every one of them, and every one of them in some degree, they suffered persecution. He says, we count them happy which endure. And Jesus is saying, blessed are those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. When your neighbors ignore you because they know you're a Christian. When you're passed over for the promotion just because you're a Christian. When somehow your name gets overlooked when the invitations are sent out, somehow it's just an oversight. But really, they didn't want you there. That's a little bit of persecution, but it can also go to very severe cases like martyrdom. Boy, there's multitudes of people who have died for the faith. I would encourage you to examine and study the periods of martyrdom, sometimes from the Roman Catholic Church against Christians, sometimes from people who didn't even claim to know anything about the Lord. But it's amazing, even today, this thing with Islam and the true Christians. You have to watch about that word Christian on the news today, because it can be something that doesn't mean what we know of as Christians. But there are true Christians today that are suffering. Boy, we need to be thankful, I guess, that we're not. But I say I guess because, boy, you think about the blessing the Lord promised. One thing's for certain, if we are persecuted, He said He will bless us. You see, the world demands more than ever, especially our country, for us to be tolerant. We are never to say anything wrong about anything or anybody. But the same country, the same world that says we are supposed to be tolerant have become more intolerant. I mean by that, everybody in the world's got rights except for Christians. They have become intolerant of our message. Did you hear about the mayor, I believe, of Houston, some Texas city, I'm not sure. She's an openly practicing lesbian. And she has demanded now that the preachers inside this city's limits send transcripts of their messages. They want to examine and make sure that there's nothing homophobic about it. I want to tell you something. We're in a troubling day. There's no telling what we see before we leave here. And these verses may mean more to us in the near future than they do now. He said, blessed are those. I'm not getting anywhere fast tonight. That are persecuted. Paul said it like this. For unto you it is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. The verse right before that, he says this, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. You know what he's saying? Those people who give you a hard time, all they're doing is showing their colors. They are showing what they are and where they're heading. They are children of perdition and they're heading to perdition. But he says you just will expect it. It's proof of who they are and where they're going. You see, it didn't start last week. In fact, you know where persecution started? Someone giving someone a hard time because they did right. Anybody think about it? Abel and Cain. Abel did right, and Cain couldn't stand it. And Cain rose up against Abel because he did right. Persecution started with the first children of the first family. And boy, it's continued to our day, and it'll continue until we leave this world. Daniel, he had to go to the den of lions because he prayed inside his own house. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego went to the fiery furnace because they would not bow to an image. Persecution has always been a part of the family of God. The 11 disciples after Judas, where did they end up? Andrew was fastened to a cross with cords so death could be slow. Paul, of course not with 11, was beheaded by Nero. Peter was crucified upside down. James the Less was thrown down from the temple and stoned, and then they used a fuller's club to bash his head off until his brains ran out. James the Great was beheaded, and one of his accusers, the one that lied against him, saw how he was handling his wrong accusation and his soon-to-be death, and that accuser got saved on the spot. What about the rest of them? Bartholomew was skinned alive. Matthew was stabbed to death. Thomas was stabbed with a spear. Again, Paul was beheaded by Nero's sword. Luke was hanged on an olive tree. Simon the Zealot was crucified and sawed in half. Matthias was stoned to death and beheaded. Jude was beaten, crucified, and shot with arrows. Mark was tied to a horse and dragged to death. John was boiled in hot oil, but he still survived. Out of the 11, and I mentioned more than 11 there, only one lived to a ripe old age. I'm telling you, persecution has always been a part of God's people's lives. And the laws of our governments and the laws of the hearts of lost people will make sure it doesn't stop until we leave this world. Our government would love many of them to stop us from preaching and close the churches. It looks like they'd be glad we are here. Most Christians are pretty good citizens. Most Christians give and are thankful and helpful and ease the burden of the government. But there's a reason, and I'm heading that direction. I'm talking tonight about the eighth beatitude. We've talked about the beatitude that deals with the poor, the penitent, the powerful, the passionate, the pitiful, the pure, the peacemaker. And tonight, the beatitude that deals with the persecuted. It won't take long, just hang on. The reason is defined. I just said it looks like they'd appreciate us. I mean, why in the world get so upset when somebody, for the most part, is doing right? The reason is defined. The reason they don't like us is because we do right. They do not like the light. They do not like the testimony of a clean life. What did Abel do? Nothing but right. But Cain couldn't stand it. And the thought is still true today. Notice what Jesus said in verse 10. For righteousness' sake, they're persecuting you because you do right. Verse 11, he says, it's for my sake. They not only, the reason, not only because they don't like you doing right, but they know who you represent. They don't like somebody saying, this is the way, this is right. And they sure don't like somebody saying, Jesus is the way. The reason is defined. They don't want righteousness and they don't want Jesus. They say, you have no right to tell me what I should do. But I want to say something I already said. This Bible is for all people, not just independent Baptists. It is for all people. And God will give... I'll reverse that and say it this way. Every person will give an account before God of how they handled His Word. And they ought to be glad we're trying to help them. The reason is defined. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Verse 11 is very important where Jesus said, shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. Falsely. There's something. They talk about us, but if they say anything about us, it's a lie. That's what Jesus is saying. Sometimes, to be honest, we deserve their ridicule. We deserve what they say because sometimes we don't live like we ought to. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about a righteous life. And He says when they see your righteous life and they know who you represent, they won't like it. And He says when they see that and they lie on you, they tell things that aren't true. I'll just be honest. I know some Christians, they almost deserve ridicule. I have known some Christians, to be honest, in their way of witnessing, it offended me. I've been with some, and I was saved, and I wanted the lost person or the person we was talking to get saved. But the way that person tried to get Christ across to that lost person, it offended me. I felt sorry for them because they was almost climbing down their throat. Well, now, that's not what Jesus is talking about. Persecution like that's something we deserve. Somebody acts like a lunatic, trying to share Christ, they deserve to be laughed at and mocked almost. But Jesus is saying, when you live a clean life and a right life, and they know it's because of Christ, and especially when you share Christ and they don't take it right and they persecute you, he said, there's a special blessing for you. There's some Christians, their manner is so harsh, so abrupt. Their temper flares so quickly. If a lost person did talk about some, you couldn't hardly fault them because they're telling the truth. But Jesus is talking about somebody who's lying, saying something that's not true. When somebody lives right and does the best they can, and somebody makes fun of them or talks about them, that's what the Lord's talking about. You see, the reason is defined. Here's the reason. They're lost, and we're saved. You see, they're different than us. Better said, we're different than them. And that's why they persecute. That's why they make fun. That's why they don't like us. That's why they're against us. We're different than them, just like Abel was different than Cain. The reason is defined. The reason is simple. They just don't like us because we're different than them. You know the sad thing about it? Jesus says, when you live right, one result will be persecution because the world will see how different you are than them. You know what the church is doing now? So much of the church, they're saying, well, let's start looking like the world and acting like the world, and then they'll accept us. That's contrary to what the Lord says. We are not to change for the world. We are to let our light shine, which Jesus continues to say in these verses, to where they'll see our good works and then they'll glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Jesus is saying, when you're persecuted because you do right, you love me and you serve me. That's what he's talking about. Again, really, they don't really hate us. They hate the Jesus we represent. Jesus said it like this, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. They don't like us because they don't like the Lord. Christian means Christ-like. And Jesus was persecuted. He's the most godly man that ever lived, and they persecuted him. So they're going to persecute us. In fact, it's part of being a Christian. Paul said, being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. He said, we are considered scum. We're the gook you scrape off and discard. He says, that's how the world looks at us. In Philippians 3:10, he says, the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. Philippians 1:29, for unto you it is given in behalf of Christ, not only believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. The reason is defined. Why do they persecute good, godly people? Because they're different. And their lives are a testimony. Their lives are proving there's something missing in your life, lost person. There's something flawed in your life. They don't want to admit that. The reason is defined. Let me say quickly, the reaction is described. He tells us what to do. When we're persecuted, he says in verse 12, rejoice and be exceeding glad. Okay, go do that. Is that simple enough in instructions? It's not to me. He said the reaction we should have. He describes the reaction. First, he says, rejoice. Not easy to rejoice when you're made fun of. Not easy to rejoice when you're overlooked. Not easy to rejoice when somebody mistreats you. Not easy to rejoice when something you should have gotten you didn't just because you're a Christian. But he says rejoice because of it. Why? Because you have done God's will. And just like Christ, even though it hurts, you're suffering for his sake. Rejoice. Our reaction is described. We should rejoice. In Acts 5:41, after they had been mistreated, Here's what the disciples did, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were worthy, that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. It's an honor to suffer for the name of Christ when it's suffering done rightly. When we've done right and we suffer for it. When our lives bring glory to God and we suffer for it, it's an honor and we should rejoice that we've been found worthy. The reaction, rejoice. The reaction, do the right thing anyway. Our tendency will be to back off. Our tendency will be to quieten down. Our tendency will be to adapt. Our tendency will be to not be so Christian-like. But according to these scriptures, we're to keep on serving God. We're not to back off. We're not to slow down. We're not to quit. We're not to go the way of the world. Stephen, when he was persecuted, prayed and meant it. Don't hold them accountable. Let not this sin be placed to their charge. He was praying for the ones that were stoning him. Keep on doing right. Keep on telling others. Don't try to avoid. I'll tell you how to avoid persecution sometimes. Be quiet. Never give out the track. Never witness. Just adapt. When they tell jokes that are discolored, laugh along with them. Just sort of blend in. That'll help you from getting persecuted. Don't warn them about hell. Don't tell them about Christ. Don't tell them about sin. And that'll keep us from being persecuted. But we'll displease God. And we'll be an aid to sending them to hell. So keep doing what's right and keep telling those other, tell them about Christ. Don't change. Instead of Moses choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He could have lived in ivory palaces, but he did God's will and lived in a tent. He was willing to suffer. The reason is defined. The reaction is described. Let me quickly say the reward is delightful. He said, blessed are those. Blessed are those. Blessed are they. Blessed are the ones. That blessing he's been talking about all along this message. This special happiness. This special place where only these people who follow these eight Beatitudes can get. He says, this is something you can have. The reward is delightful, a special blessing. God gives a special blessing to those who suffer persecution well, rightly. Faithfully, there's a special blessing. Again, this is the one beatitude that has two blessings. We get a blessing now, but we get the blessings later, as he'll mention in just a second. The reward is delightful. There's a special blessing. Verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. For theirs, here's the second blessing, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you. Again, James said it like this, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience, behold, we count them happy which endure. The price is high when it comes to real persecution, but the reward is worth it. Listen again to what Jesus said, and Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that have left house or brethren or sister or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. Did you hear that? With persecutions. And in the world to come, eternal life. He said those people who are willing to suffer now get a blessing now, but they get a blessing later. There's a double blessing for those that are persecuted and handle it rightly. That's important. And handle it rightly. There's the reward that's delightful. A special blessing. Grace to help us endure. A protection, really, to keep them from doing more. Some of the men and women who served God served until death. And that was what God allowed. But I'll promise you this, not one of them lived 1 second less than what God wanted. Their ministry was through. God saw to that before he let them take their lives. That's the blessing that we know that we're in God's hand. He will give us grace to endure. I'm talking about a miracle. A miracle from God that he gives somebody the grace to endure persecution and still keep doing right. Still keep staying in God's will. That's the blessing. The reward is delightful. A special blessing, the grace to endure. And then the special blessing that someone every once in a while will listen to you. And they'll hear what you say. And they'll say, I've been wanting to hear this for a long time. You've told me exactly what I needed to hear. I'm a sinner. I want to be saved right now. Special blessing. The reward is delightful. Friend, I'm going to tell you from here to the house, it's not going to get easier. It's going to get more difficult. But there's a special blessing for those who will serve faithfully in spite of persecution. I don't know where our country will go. It's going away fast. I don't know what we'll have to face as citizens, but especially as Christian citizens. But there's a promise from the Word that God will sustain us and help us if we'll trust Him. Let's stand together.